This is an Equity Mates Media podcast.
Equity Mates. I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is useful.
Welcome to another episode of Equity Mates, a podcast that follows our journey of investing. Whether you're an absolute beginner or approaching Warren Buffett status, our aim is to help break down your barriers from beginning to dividend. My name is Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going?
I'm very good, Bryce. Great to be with you for another episode and excited for this one because we're covering a topic that is, I think, of interest to a lot of people in the Equity Mates community, that is sustainable water and waste. It's definitely of interest to me. I did some work in the waste game back in the day, so very excited for this interview.
Absolutely, and we have an expert joining us from Fidelity to talk us all through it. So it is our pleasure to welcome Veleslava Dimitrova. Veleslava, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Welcome.
So Veleslava is the lead portfolio manager of Fidelity Sustainable Water and Waste Fund. And if you'd like more information on what they're doing, head to the Fidelity website, fidelity.com.au. And thank you to Fidelity for sponsoring this episode. So Veleslava, we'd like to start at the top with an introduction to the fund. So sustainable water and waste, what does this mean and what are some of the companies or themes that the fund invests in?
The Sustainable Water and Waste Fund invests in companies along the full value chain of water and waste. When we look at water, we invest in from taking water from nature, purifying water, transporting, storing water, using for domestic purposes, then cleaning water and turning back to nature. But it is not used only for domestic purposes. Water is also used for industrial purposes. It is used in drug development. It is used in semiconductor manufacturing and all services out there, and actually primarily for agriculture as well. In waste, again, we invest along the full value chain, starting from companies providing cleaning services or waste collection services to disposal. And we have primarily two types of waste, both of which are quite harmful to the environment. One is burning waste or incineration, and the other is landfilling or burying waste in the ground. Burning waste is bad for climate change because it releases carbon dioxide, and burying waste in the ground is harmful for the environment because it means toxins end up in water and in land, and it's bad for humans. It is bad for biodiversity as well. So because of that, we within the waste bucket, we are investing primarily in solutions that can help reduce the harmful impact of waste on the environment. So the fund would benefit both from overall growing volumes of waste, but also from that shift to more sustainable practices going forward. And the type of practices I mean is recycling or new recycling solutions. And we're seeing a proliferation of new recycling methods coming to the market in solutions that can help us reduce the overall volume of waste we generate through industrial automation or secondhand good platforms, or more environmentally friendly materials like biodegradable plastic, for example.
So Veleslava, listening to that description, a lot of that makes sense in terms of, you know, we're all citizens, we all understand the importance of better resource use, better waste management, more efficient use of water. So as citizens listening to that, it makes a lot of sense. I guess the question is, as investors, why is water and waste a good thematic to be exposed to?
That's a great question, because the theme water and waste, as the name says, might not sound very exciting. But actually, it is a very exciting thematic from an investment perspective. And this is because of the extremely long duration of the theme and the great visibility we have in the growth for both the water and waste companies. And this is because water and waste is the foundation for life, but it's also the foundation for economic development. And it is the two sides of the same coin. And these two themes are driven by the same very long-term growth drivers, like population growth. We know that over the next 20 years, we're likely to add about 1.2, 1.3 billion to the global population. And people are still increasingly moving to cities. Yet infrastructure is not sufficient to handle those volumes. It needs to be upgraded. Consumption is still growing. We know that the growing middle class accounts for about a third of global GDP growth. And this growth is extremely water and waste intensive. For example, a cup of coffee takes 200 liters of water to make, or a pair of jeans takes 8,000 liters of water. And everything that we're consuming today becomes waste on average in a couple of years. Mm. Another driver is aging infrastructure. Cities in the developed markets were not built for these volumes. Just to give you an example, in the US, we have leakage rates of 20 to 40%. This is really unsustainable, and we need to invest in this. There are two other drivers that have probably come to our attention more recently, even though they have been around for a while, is climate change. Climate change is leading to water scarcity, is leading to flooding. To invest to be able to maintain our current standard of living. And finally, responsible resource consumption. This is mostly primarily changing attitudes among the younger population in looking for ways to have a lower burden on the environment. So it is that those very strong long-term drivers that make this theme very exciting.
Mm. So Veleslava, at least 70% of the fund that you manage is in companies exhibiting sustainable characteristics, and then 30% in companies that are showing improvement or potential for improvement in or characteristics. So let's start with the 70%. What are you looking for when you say exhibiting sustainable characteristics?
So we're looking for companies that have very high ESG ratings. And what this means is that these are companies with very good overall practices. These are the very good global citizens. And these good practices are in the three buckets, in environmental, governance, and social. When we say environmental, we mean companies where their practices are not polluting to the environment. Governance means that we look at issues such as board independence and diversity, among other factors. And social covers how the company treats its customers, suppliers and employees, and just the wider community.
So Veleslava, then turning to the 30%, how do you engage with those companies? How do you determine a company that is improving or has the potential for improvement? And then how do you and the team at Fidelity actually engage with these companies and try and drive that improvement?
So the 30% bucket, as you mentioned, is companies that are might have a low ESG rating, but they are on an improving trajectory as judged by Fidelity analysts. And the basis for that improvement label is what practices the company is currently installing and how it is changing its practices. And if we have sufficient conviction that it's going in the right direction, then we can own that company. But there are some examples where companies are not on an improving trajectory. And those are the companies that we're looking to engage with and hopefully help them improve those practices.
So Veleslava, when we were thinking about this topic, sustainable water and waste, we really couldn't get past the overall population growth that the world is seeing and what that means for resource use, the amount of waste that's produced, the amount of water that's consumed. Are we just fighting a losing battle with overall population growth? And I guess, what are some of the companies that are on the forefront of fighting this battle and actually overcoming the overall population growth that the world is seeing?
If we think about the fundamentals of the companies and whether they're a great investment, growing population is very good for them because it means growing volumes. But in terms of sustainability, this is clearly not sustainable. This is why within the fund, particularly within the waste bucket, we are looking to pivoting the fund to what we deem more sustainable practices. Because you're right, burning waste releases carbon dioxide, burying waste in the ground. In some regions, we don't have enough space for this. And secondly, it means chemicals ending up in water and soil, which is very harmful for humans and very harmful for animals and biodiversity. So there are, fortunately, because of regulation and because of changing consumer attitudes, there are new ways of dealing with waste that are emerging, that are more environmentally friendly and can hopefully help us deal with the issue of growing waste because of growing population. And these are methods to reduce the volume of waste, or new recycling methods, or more environmentally friendly materials. So the first bucket I mentioned, reducing the volume of waste, we can achieve this by making things, by manufacturing things in a smarter way, by using industrial automation that can help us reduce defects and therefore reduce waste. Or another example is construction software. There's a company that automates construction. Currently, construction is done the way it was done 100 years ago. And there is a lot of error and therefore waste from those errors. Using construction software can reduce this waste by 20 to 30%, which is really material when you think about how much construction waste there is. It accounts for about 40% of all urban waste. So significant room for reducing waste. Another example is a secondhand good platform, just people buying things that have already been used, and this extends the life of the product and reduces the amount of virgin materials we need.
Just out of interest, Veleslava, what's the specific construction company you're talking about? Sounds pretty interesting. It'd be great to get a name if we can.
The name of the company is Autodesk. This is the largest provider of construction automation software.
Yeah. No, we know Autodesk. We've come across that a couple of times on our investing journey over the years. So yeah, good name. Let's continue the chat around waste management. Are you able to introduce the concept of a circular economy and explain what it is?
So circular economy is just a vision. This is where we would like the economy to go into over the next years and decades, which will significantly reduce our burden environment. It is a concept of sustaining economic growth without consuming incremental resources from nature, or at least limiting that use of virgin materials. It is managing the end stage of the life of the product in a way that materials that have gone into the product can be extracted and used as raw materials. When it comes to water, it is purifying water and reusing water rather than using water from nature. But we're in the very early stages of this. This is where regulation is likely to take us, but it is very early.
It seems to be the buzzword or like their goal in a lot of waste companies. You know, you read their corporate material, their investor updates, their annual reports, and the circular economy is definitely mentioned a lot. And it feels like more and more with the increasing focus on climate change and resource use, that more and more government intervention is coming and trying to make the circular economy a thing. In terms of other important trends or, I guess, emerging technologies that are emerging in the waste space, are there any that we should be aware of as potential investors in the industry?
Yes, there are. Actually, we have been looking at this for years now, and there are a lot of very exciting technologies. But like everything new, we need to be careful because not all of them are proven and to work at scale. But still, some of them are very, very exciting. An example of that will be your previous point about circular economy. Particularly within Europe, regulation is becoming tougher increasingly, and therefore we're seeing response from the consumer good companies. And it is getting tougher around the recyclability of plastic that companies are using in their packaging or the percentage of recycled plastic. And because of that, and because of changing consumer attitudes as well, we're seeing companies coming to the market with new recycling technologies. So currently, penetration of recycling globally is only at around 8 to 9%, which is why we have all these articles about plastic ending up in the ocean and killing animals. And it is at such a low level because the technology doesn't exist. We can recycle plastic through mechanical recycling, which is not ideal because the end product cannot be used for the same purposes as virgin plastic. It smells, it has this ugly color. So we need new methods to recycle. And there are companies coming to the market that can do chemical recycling. And chemical recycling actually allows you to have a product that is very similar to the virgin plastic and used for all sorts of application. Another example would be a very interesting company called RenewCell that is able to recycle cotton in clothing. Currently, this is not really recycled and clothing ends up on landfills. But this company can recycle cotton up to 7 times, which materially reduces both water that's used for growing cotton and just overall volumes of new cotton as well. Another example is, as I mentioned earlier, secondhand good platforms. These are platforms that you can sell old clothes or anything really. It would be also biodegradable plastic. There are companies that can make plastic biodegradable in the environment, not needing industrial composting. Mm. So these are very, very exciting technologies, but some of them are very early stage.
That global penetration of recycling was pretty alarming, 8%. I thought it would have been much higher than that, but plenty of work to do. Veleslava, let's turn our attention to the water side. When we think of water sustainability, you know, we think about water scarcity and, you know, inadequate sanitation. Are there any other issues that you think we should be aware of?
So in addition to water scarcity, climate change is leading to extreme flooding as well. Both of these require significant investment in infrastructure to be able to maintain adequate supplies of water, both for domestic purposes and for industrial purposes. Water is used in all industries, be it drug manufacturing or food manufacturing, agriculture, all industries. There's also the issue of water purification of wastewater from industrial processes. And in some countries, this is not an issue, but for others, it is. And volumes are also growing because of increasing use of chemicals. There's also another issue of water pollution with what we call forever chemicals. These are called forever chemicals because they last extremely long time in nature. They don't biodegrade very quickly. And they're found in water, they're found in soil, but also because of their broad use, it is found also in blood of people and animals all over the world. And at present, at very low level, in a range of food products as well. And scientific studies have actually shown that these chemicals are linked to very harmful health effects in animals and humans. Because of that, one of these chemicals is called PFAS. It has garnered lots of headlines in the U.S. The current infrastructure bill has a provision for significant funding for cleaning up PFAS contamination in land and soil. So lots of issues there.
Yeah. So Veleslava, where Bryce and I are recording from Australia, and a key issue that we see when it comes to water in Australia is the balance between water scarcity, I guess, and water for agriculture. And I imagine this is the key issue all around the world. So when you're looking at the portfolio companies, when you're looking globally, how do you see the world balancing the need to produce enough food for a growing population and then also the need to conserve water?
Yes, you're right. This is increasingly becoming a challenge, and it is obvious in some regions where climate change is progressing faster. And we need new solutions to solve that problem. Now, the solutions do exist, but similarly to previous technologies and discussion around, they're very early stage. So we need adoption of these very, very quickly, given how quickly climate change is progressing. And these two are, one is agricultural automation and the other is vertical farming. Now, agricultural automation is probably a bit more advanced. It already has in some regions about 20% penetration. And what it means, it is a targeted application of peat chemicals or water, irrigation systems that save water. Most farm is irrigated in the traditional way of flood water, just flooding the whole field with water, which is very wasteful. But targeted irrigation systems have the potential to save significant amounts of water. The second one, vertical farming, is probably even more promising, but it is very, very early stage. But what it can do is it can reduce the water consumption by around 80%. It can also reduce fertilizer use, which is also great because it reduces leakage of fertilizers into water and land. There may be hundreds of companies working on vertical farming, but it is very early stage.
I think the Japanese are big in vertical farming, aren't they? Correct me if I'm wrong.
They started, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they invented it.
Well, there you go. So, Veleslava, before we turn to discussing a couple of the top holdings in your fund, we're just going to take a very short break to hear from our sponsors. So, Veleslava, let's turn to company-specific. Everyone loves hearing about companies here at Equity Mate. So we really want to hear from you one water-focused stock and then one waste-focused stock from your top holdings or companies that are certainly interesting you at the moment. So for each company, it'd be great to hear what the company does and what your investment thesis is, as well as, you know, your process for discovery and the research process to understand it. So if we want to start with the water-focused stock, that'd be great. If there are any that come to mind?
Yes, there are many great water stocks, but one example of a very interesting and very, we believe, very good investment is American Water Works. American Water Works is a U.S. company, and it is the largest U.S. water utility, and it is also the best-in-class operator. They have lower operating costs, they have better leakage performance than competitors, they have lower customer bills while enjoying higher growth. These things are all interlinked. Unlike many other regulated utilities, scale is a huge benefit to them. Since state legislation in the US allows water utilities to spread the cost of all their customers. So if you have more customers, required price increases are less. Therefore, American Water Works can pay more than competitors, and municipalities are likely to sell to them. There is huge runway for growth ahead of them because U.S. water networks are primarily municipality-owned, 85% owned for water and 98% for wastewater. And these networks are hugely underinvested with leakage rates of 20-40%. Therefore, municipalities are increasingly selling their assets. And because of American Water Works' advantage, they are the most likely buyer. So very significant headroom for growth.
Fascinating company. Not one that I've ever really thought about, American Water Utilities. But I'm just I'm just Googling it now. So it trades on the New York Stock Exchange. The ticker is AWK if people want to do some more research on it. But, Veleslava, if we turn to waste, are there any... Are there any particular waste names that are really front of mind for you at the moment?
So waste is even more exciting because of that transformation I mentioned to these new solutions. But one I didn't mention previously was using turning waste products into products. And an example of a company doing that is a company called Azek. This company is making decking or composite decking partly from waste wood and waste plastic. So part is virgin, but part is waste. About half is waste. Composite decking has only 20% share today, and it is taking share from traditional wood decking because it lasts longer and because it requires less maintenance, and it results in a very nice payback for customers in about 3 years. Azek are the number two player in the market, but the industry structure is very attractive and pricing is rational. The reason we prefer the number two is because number one is significantly more expensive. The top three players have 90% market share. We really like markets that are very consolidated because pricing is significantly better. Demand is very strong, and capacity addition in this industry are very modular. So you can react quickly to increasing supply. You don't have the problem of flooding the market with significant supply and affecting prices. And the company has very high returns on capital. ASIC's strategy is actually to increase further the percentage of recycled content from 50 to 75%. Which actually will increase their margins because you're paying less for waste, basically, than you're paying for virgin materials.
So that was Azek, also trades on the New York Stock Exchange, ticker AZEK, another interesting company.
So, Veleslava, before we move to the final three questions, if anyone is listening and interested in understanding more about what you're doing or the fund, head to the Fidelity website, fidelity.com.au. There is a page for the Sustainable Water and Waste Fund, and we'll include a link to that in our show notes. It's got some great research on there and info on the top holdings.
Yeah, I love it. The thing that I love is there's a lot of companies that I haven't heard of before in the top holdings. So a good one to go and check out if you're interested in this space. So we'll get stuck into the final couple of questions now. And Veleslava, one that we love to ask every expert, forget, you know, valuation or what they're trading at now, just purely based on the company and what it does. What's the best company you've ever come across?
That's an interesting question because there are very interesting companies out there. And usually we find these where you have high barriers to entry. Be it scale or brand or some technological advantage, because if you have a very strong brand, it allows you to grow at a significantly lower investment than if you are in a very capital intensive industry. If you franchise, like for example, McDonald's, similar thing, you can grow at a very low investment. But maybe one example I would give is a company called Ansys. This is a company that makes multi-physics simulation software for various applications. They're used in car production, autonomous vehicles, aviation, 5G, many, many others. And barriers to entry are extremely high and competition very low because they employ many, many, many PhDs. And it's a business that is extremely difficult to replicate what they have done. This means that basically they have very fast growing and applications to themselves with very limited competition. We really like these type of companies because it allows you to have the volume growth, but also pricing on top of this, because very often where you have strong volume growth, you have high competition, pricing erosion, and you don't really generate significant value, whereas Ansys can do that.
Yeah, love that. Never heard of that company before, but I've just Googled it. It looks fascinating, so I'll definitely put it on my watch list. For those playing along at home, it trades on the NASDAQ, ticker ANSS. And then final question, Valislava, that we like to end every interview with. If you think back to your younger self when you were just starting out in the world of finance and investing, what advice would you give to your younger self?
I would think very hard about what you're good at and what you're also passionate about. Because if you can integrate these two in what you're doing for a living, combining work and passion means that you will be fulfilled every day. But also, I have a second one, I guess, and it's start investing early. Start investing your savings very early. The power of compounding is hugely underestimated. If you start in your 20s, it's a significant difference as compared to if you start in your 40s.
Yeah.
So start investing early.
Yeah, I love that. It's not surprising how many experts say that that is the piece of advice that they would give their younger self. Just get in the markets. Get in the markets as soon as possible. I think it's a great message to finish on. So thank you so much for your time, Valislava. As I said, it's a very important and in-demand topic is sustainability, and you've certainly provided us with some interesting companies that not all of us had heard of before. So appreciate your time and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Equity Mates. We love hearing from you. So drop us a line at contact@equitymates.com, or even better, go to your podcast player and leave a 5-star review. Also, a reminder that the Equity Mates content train doesn't stop when you've run out of episodes to binge. We've got a brand new website, a Facebook discussion group. We're on Instagram, YouTube, and slowly making our way as an influencer on TikTok. Well, that's Ren. So come and say hello and join the community. We'd love to welcome you. Until next time.
Equity Mates Investing Podcast is a product of Equity Mates Media. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. Equity Mates gives listeners access to information and educational content provided by a range of financial service professionals. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Equity Mates Media does not operate under an Australian financial services license and relies on the exemption available under the Corporations Act 2001 in respect of any information or advice given. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast or video. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Equity Mates website, where you can find ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.